Well, good afternoon. That was a good meal. It was very good. Appreciate that. This afternoon here, I want to kind of give you an understanding of the first message the Lord gave me, I feel, preach. Before, it was about 2008, I believe, the Lord really put it on my heart to preach. And before that, I had a lot of my dad's notes. I mean, I have boxes of them. And I'd read them and go through them. And I felt, you know, I would bring messages out of those notes. Like, and it was a very good learning period for me, because there's people that go to seminary and there's people that they learn. And I was able to learn from my father's notes. That's where I learned a lot of things and how to put a sermon together and make things. And then read the notes off, and I could do pretty well with that. But it wasn't until about 08. And I remember the time I was sitting there reading through some notes of my father's. And I just felt a burden on my heart that this was something that I had to do. That I just couldn't pick out of these notes anymore. The Lord was going to have to give me a message. And I remember one day I was driving to work, and through that week I was supposed to preach on that Sunday. And I remember driving to work, and it was very foggy out. And I remembered a time back when I was about 17, 18 years old, and I was going to go hunting with my brother. It was very foggy that morning, and I remember he pulled up in the driveway. It was probably about 4 o'clock in the morning, him and a guy by the name of Ed Higgins. And we were going to go up in the mountains to go hunting, and I got in the truck with him, and we left, and man, it was foggy. You couldn't hardly see anything. And we drove all the way up there to the mountains. It took a long time. We got up there, it was light when we got there. But it was so foggy, you couldn't see anything. You could step away from the truck a ways and look at the, you can hardly see the truck. And Ed Higgins, this guy that had been up there a lot, he told me, he said, just go up in there. It'll the fog will lift, you'll be all right. And just go, the mountains are there. You know, you can't see them, but they're there. Just go on up in there and then just sit down somewhere and wait. It'll lift. So I remember I got up in the mountains there, and I was sitting there waiting for that fog to lift. It never lifted. That was the strangest day. It was there the whole entire day. And I remember I got up, and he had told me there was a road down a mile or so down the mountainside there, and I was supposed to hit the road and come out to the truck. And I remember I took off, and I was walking, and I kept thinking to myself, you know, this would have been so easy if I just had a compass. If I had a compass that I could have took my bearing when I went in there, and it doesn't matter if I could see, if I had a compass, then I would be able to get out of here all right. And I remember, it's by the grace of God, I made it to that road, and I was able to get down to the truck again. But my brother ended up getting lost. He walked clear up to the top of the mountain so he could see over the... And he finally got it so high, he couldn't even tell he was going up. It was so foggy. He walked all the way up to the top and looked over the fog and decided he had to go back down again. So, but anyway, I felt like I had to have a compass. And I remember when I was driving to work that day, I said, There's something there. The Lord was trying to show me something. He was trying to teach me something. It came to me that in every verse of Scripture in this Bible, it points us to two things. And this morning, I know a compass points in all different directions, but we're going to deal this afternoon here with north and south. That's what we're going to deal with. North on our compass of truth. And this is, I feel like the Lord gave me this. The first message I ever preached was this. It's called the compass of truth. And I believe that every verse in this Bible, it points to two things. Number one, it points, no, we'll deal with north first. North on our compass of truth. And that is God. It points us to a holy, righteous, sovereign God. It points us to a God who is sovereign in all things, in everything. He is sovereign. I mean, we need to see that. We need to understand that. A God who is life. A God who is truth. A God that everything He says is absolute truth. And that's what this north on our compass of truth is. It's perfection. It's holiness. It's righteousness. It's all these things. He is light. You know, it's the Bible says He's light, and in Him dwelleth no darkness whatsoever. This is north on this compass of truth. He's everything. Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the ending. He's everything. He's sovereign over all things, including the will of men. He is. He's sovereign even over the will of men. He is. He is right in all that He does. The Lord God Almighty, He answers to no man. None whatsoever. No matter what religion is saying out here, God answers to no man. He is sovereign over all things. The God of the Scriptures, He is omnipotent. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He is. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. And I mean all-knowing. He knows everything. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He knows the beginning from the end. He is sovereign will has predestinated all things. It has. And this is north on our compass of truth. Perfection, holiness, and all these things, they add up to what God is. They do. He is the truth and the life and the way. On our compass of truth, He is due north. Due north. He's perfect. Follow Him and there can be no error. No error whatsoever. If you have your bearings set on the true God of the Scriptures, if you have your bearings set on Him, there is no error there. None. Well, every Scripture in this Bible points us to something else. And I was thinking, when you're holding that compass and you've got it pointed north and that you got your bearing on God, perfection, holiness, righteousness, beauty, majesty, you look at that compass and there's needles pointing north, but there's also a little point of that needle is pointing back somewhere. And it's pointing south. And now south on our compass of truth, it's pointing back at us is what it's pointing at. And south on our compass of truth is the total opposite of north. The total opposite. We are wickedness. We are sinfulness. We are depravity. We're the opposite of God. He is life. That's north. Life is north. We are death. That's south. He's truth. He's perfection, truth. And we're lies. That's what we are. We're nothing but lies. He's righteousness. Perfection, holiness. We're sinners. We're south. Sinners. He's light. We are darkness. He is everything. We're nothing. Nothing. He is love. We are hate. Isn't that right? That's what we are. He is glory. We're hell. That's what we are. He is merciful. And we're full of greed and lust. You know what the Bible says about us? That's what we are. He is true north. And we're due south. We are polar opposites of Him. And if any verse of Scripture that we go into in light of this compass of truth, if we go into it, we can understand that verse, I believe. If we have to go into it with that understanding, though, that He is perfection, holiness, righteousness, due north. We're sinfulness, wickedness, depravity, everything that He is, we're not. And if we go into it, we can understand these verses of Scripture in the Bible. We can't. They can only be truly understood and revealed by the Holy Spirit to the heart, though. You can sit in a Calvinistic church all your life. You can't, but that doesn't make you a believer in the doctrines of grace. It doesn't. That has to be revealed to you. You have to understand that after it's revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. And that's the only way you're going to understand it. And there are people that sit in Armenian churches. There are. And I believe that there are some saved that sit in Armenian churches. They will be pulled out. It will be drawn out, I believe. I believe they'll see the error of it. But the Holy Spirit's going to have to do the work. He's going to have to be the one that shows them this compass of truth and puts it in their heart that they can understand that God, who He is, and man, what He is. It's only the Holy Spirit that does that. But if God gives us the light, and we can fully understand and comprehend these two great truths revealed in Scripture, I believe the Bible will come alive to us. I think it will. These verses of Scripture. You know, we talked about the message you just had here. We talked about that. Choose you this day. If we understand the you, and we understand the whom, And we go into that with a compass of truth. That verse is going to, we don't even know what it means. We're going to understand that a dead, rotten, vile, wretched sinner is not going to choose God unless God first chooses him. It's impossible. It's impossible for a dead man to make himself alive. It takes a sovereign, holy, righteous God to make a dead man alive. And that's what we understand. That's what we see in light of this compass of truth. Well, I remember back when I first brought this message and I was explaining this to the kids. And we were sitting there having a Bible study one evening there at the house. And I told the kids, I said, let's pick a verse and let's go through this verse and let's examine it in light of the compass of truth, in light of this truth that we see here. And so one of the kids said, well, let's look at Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29. I said, well, that's a good one. That's a good one. For whom he did foreknow. Let's turn over there. Romans 8. Verse 29. I believe this verse right here is very misunderstood in modern day religion. There's a lot of misinterpretation of this verse right here. The Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, the first thing we need to understand is the whom. For whom? If we come into this verse in the wrong light, if we understand this verse in whom to mean somebody that's not really that bad, somebody that's not dead to him, somebody that's not all the way dead, somebody that's just halfway decent, okay, we're going to be, I was thinking this week, we're going to be like Bugs Bunny. Remember, he hops up out of that hole and he's got his beach board in his hand and his surfboard and he's got his sunglasses on and he's got his swimsuit on and his, all this suntan lotion in his hand. He pops out, there's snow on his head. Remember what he said? He said, I think I took a wrong turn at Albuquerque. And that's the way we're going to be. You come popping out of this verse and you think you got the whom all messed up, then you're going to obviously have the for whom he part of it messed up. You're going to have the he. That's going to be all off. And this verse isn't going to make any sense whatsoever. It's going to mean something totally different than what it truthfully means. All right, let's look at it in light of a compass of truth. What does this foreknowledge of God consist of in the eyes of modern day religion? What does it consist of? Let's look at that first. How does this foreknowledge of God work in your typical Armenian church? How does it work? Well, I believe if you just want to find out what modern day religion is, if you want to find the answers to a particular subject on Armenianism, really all we have to do is just ask our kids the question. That's all you got to do. Really. Just ask your kids. And I guarantee you 99% of the time, they're going to give you an Armenian answer. They will. You ask them what the foreknowledge of God is and how God foreknew his people. 99% of the time, they're going to say that God looked into the future and he saw what man was going to do, and therefore, he chose them according to what they were going to do. That's what they're going to do. That only makes sense to our children. It does. Apart from the compass of truth, apart from the truth being revealed in your heart, that's the only way that makes sense. When a teacher, when you go to school, the teacher doesn't pick out the kids at the beginning of the year they're going to give A's to, and just give them out because that was their decision. Now, you got to earn those grades, right? You got to earn those A's. You got to. And that's the way our children look at this. It only makes sense. It does. Well, until he reveals himself to them, and until he has revealed himself to us and showed us these things, that only makes sense. You have to earn these things. You have to earn it. Well, that's not the truth. That's not true. We are all Arminian before the Lord revealed himself to us. We all were. We all were. Listen, this is the world's view of this verse, and it's the world's view of salvation as a whole. God's sitting up on a mountain somewhere. You know, you always hear about that old white-haired man he's very knowledgeable and he's up there and we're going and searching for truth. You know? That's the world's view of God. And he's this one that is all-knowing and he knows everything and he's up on this mountainside. And He's got preachers down at the base of this mountain. Okay? And there's a whole bunch of people out the bottom of this valley down there. And these preachers are saying to these people, and even though that old man up there, he knows and he has foreknown and he has foreseen all these things, his hands are tied. He can't do anything about all these people down in the valley until they make a decision to come up there to him. He can't do anything about it. So he's got preachers down there and they're saying, go to him. And there's people down there on the bottom of this valley. Now, it's modern day religion. It is. If you listen to them long enough, you'll figure this out. You'll see it. They're sitting down there and they're looking and they're listening to the message and they're saying, well, no, I don't want to go. Some of them do. And then there's others that say, hey, you know, if I try real hard and I know there's going to be rivers to cross and valleys to go, you know, creeks to wade and stuff, but I think I can make it. If God is my co-pilot, you've seen those bumper stickers. If He's my co-pilot, I can make it. If He meets me halfway, I'll make it. That's modern day religion. It is. Their compass is going like this, isn't it? It's all off. So these people are all mingling around down there. All right? And they say, I think I can make it. They go off and they're singing that song. I'm pressing on the upward way. Right? New heights I'm gaining every day. They're going. They're on their way. They are. All right. Let's examine this scripture in light of the compass of truth. In light of the truth. If your compass goes straight up and down. If we got north and we got south right on our compass of truth, let's look at this verse. Well, first of all, God is not up on some mountain somewhere. No, He's not. He's up in the heavenlies. He is. God is above us. You know, that's our problem, isn't it? Sometimes we think of God too much like ourselves. Nuh-uh. God's holy. He's righteous, perfect, sovereign, and He reigns in the heavens. He's up there in the heavenlies. That's where He is. He's up there, and we're down on this earth, but there's even a worse picture of where we're at. We're down in this giant chasm that's thousands and thousands and thousands of feet deep. And there are giant granite walls that stretch up and up and up and up and up. There's no way you're going to climb them. No way. And what makes matters even worse is at the bottom of this chasm, down there at the bottom, very bottom, there's a mass of humanity and they're all dead to God. All dead to God. All right? The Bible says, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. South on a compass of truth is death. Death. Okay? He is life. We're death. We're all down there at the bottom of this chasm and we're dead. All right? Down there in a world of depravity, world of sin, world of wickedness. All right? Now this compass is going straight up and down, isn't it? It is. Perfection, holiness, righteousness, beauty, all these things. Wickedness, depravity, no way, dead to God. There's our compass. Okay, straight up and down. Well, let's look at this verse. For whom He did foreknow. All right, before the foundation of the world, God chose a people. Not seeing any good in them. He didn't see any good in them. How could He? How could He have saw any good in them in light of this truth? In light of this compass of truth, do you see any good south on the compass of truth? Is there? No, there isn't. He chose His people, all right, out of a sinful, wretched, dead mass of humanity. That's where He chose them from. That's where He got them from. If He found you, that's where He found you. All right? If He chose you, that's where He chose you. If He loves you, that's where He loved you. Right out of there. Right out of there. That's where He got you. That's the way our compass has to point. He does. He's north. We're south. He's perfection, holiness, righteousness. We're wickedness, depravity. He's life. We're death. And because He chose His people before the foundation of the world, He foreknew His people. He foreknew His people. He foreknew His people because He chose them. That's how He foreknew. Remember that verse? He engraved our names on the palm of His hand. He chose us, and therefore He foreknew us. He looked down in this vile, wretched mass of humanity, and He picked you out. He picked you. Isn't that something? He picked you out. He picked me out. Well, you know, that just doesn't fit in with our free enterprise, capitalistic thinking, does it? It just doesn't go with it. It doesn't. I always thought you get what you pay for. You know? I always thought that was the way it was. You have to earn it. Well, if your compass is pointing in the right direction, you will understand that God does not have mercy upon the sinner. If God doesn't have mercy upon him, he will get what he's earned. He will. The wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. That's what we deserve. He doesn't run a system of fairness to the sinner. He runs a system of grace. Grace. Isn't that wonderful? Grace. A system of mercy. That's what he runs. But wait, there's more. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. He made a way. God made a way for sinful man to be reconciled with a perfectly holy God. That south, he made a way for it to go north. He made a way. He did. Sinful man. Christ became a man. Christ became a human being. God placed his only begotten Son, his dear Son, down in this pit of flesh we talked about. Down there in that chasm, he placed his dear Son down there. He did. And he became sin for those ones that God foreknew. He became sin for them. He did. Not everyone. He didn't become sin for everyone. The truth points to an effectual sacrifice, doesn't it? Isn't that what the truth points to? It doesn't point to a failed Savior. That's not what the truth points to. If Christ died for everyone, and if any of his elect are in hell, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. That points to a failed Savior, doesn't it? No, that's not truth. That's not truth. He has accomplished everything. He is perfect in what he's accomplished. Perfect. He became sin for his people. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. It shall surely die. God said, I will in no wise clear the guilty. I'm not going to clear them. I'm not going to clear them. Won't do it. God demanded perfection. He had to have it. He demanded it. He demands holiness. He demands a spotless sacrifice. His law will be honored. It has to be satisfied. It has got to be satisfied. In light of the truth, God is just God. Holy, perfect, righteous. That's north. And his justice has to be satisfied. His holiness has to be matched. God cannot look upon sin. He is light, and in him can dwell no darkness whatsoever. None. No darkness will enter into his presence. No sin will come into his presence. None. God demanded for us what we in no way could pay. We couldn't pay. We can't. We're down there in that bottom of that pit down there. There ain't no way you're going to get out of it. No way. But Christ came, and Christ lived, and Christ died, and now Christ sits beside his Father, making intercession for us. He does. Christ paid the debt. Christ paid the debt. We broke the law. The whip should have been laid upon our back, but it wasn't. It was laid on his, right? It was laid on his. But instead, the wrath of the Father was turned on Christ for his people. For his people. God turned his back on his Son for his people. For his chosen people. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. We're healed by him. And there you are, down there in the bottom of that giant chasm. There you are. And the Holy Spirit comes, and it touches a heart down there. We're not looking up. We're not. These people down there are dead. We were dead before the Holy Spirit came to us. We weren't looking for God. He came looking for us. And he sent his Spirit down there in that pit. Down there in that pit, and he touched us. He touches our heart. He makes us alive to who God is. That's what happens. We see him as he is. He shows us. He shows who he is. You remember Isaiah there? I told you I was going to talk about that a little bit. Remember Isaiah there? He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He said, he saw that perfection. He saw north on the compass of truth, and then he saw south. He said, woe is me. Well, remember what Job said? He said, I've heard of thee all my life with the hearing of the ears. I've sit and I've listened, I've heard of you, but now mine eye seeth thee. What did he see? He saw north. He saw north on the compass of truth, and then he saw south. He saw south. He said, I abhor myself. Oh, I'm a sinner. I'm wicked. I'm a depraved, wicked, vile, wretched sinner. I need something. I've got to have it. And there you are, down there in the bottom of that pit. The Holy Spirit comes and He shows you who you are. He shows you who you are. You remember that pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress? You remember that? He left that city and he had that pack on his back. And he felt like that pack was going to drag him right down in the bottom. He said, there's no way. I'm going to make it. No way. And that's the way we were down there in that pit. When He showed us our wickedness. He showed us our depravity. He showed us what we are. We're down there. He showed us that we dwell in the midst of an unclean people. And we have lips of unclean people. That's us. That's us. He showed us that. Oh my. And then what do? What happens? Well, we're looking for something then, right? We're looking for something. We're looking for the answer. And you see off in the corner, you see this great congregation off in the corner. And you go over there and you're thinking, maybe I can get this pack removed. Maybe I can do something about this burden that's on my back. You walk over there to that great congregation that's over there in the corner and the preacher's saying, just climb. Just climb. Go. Go. And you feel that pack's on your back and you look at these people and they're over trying to climb up them giant chasm walls, those walls of granite. They're just clinging to the mud on the side of there and they're working their way up, but they're not making no progress. And you say to yourself, there's no way. There's no way I'm going to climb up there. You see up there? There's no way I'm going to get up there. No way. You say, I got to have something else. I got to have something else. And you go walking off. Brother Glenn is talking about being in a church, preached Arminianism. That's the way you're going to feel. You're going to feel, there's no way. You see your sin and sitting in an Arminian church? And no way. No way. This isn't for me. I got to find something else. So you look around and you see this little congregation off in the corner. Little congregation. And you walk over there and you listen to what that preacher's saying. You know what he's saying? He's saying, look. Look. And you say, is that all? Yeah, just look. Look for what? Look, Christ. Look unto me. All ye that labor and heavy laden. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. For I am God and there is none else. Just look. That's all you got to do. And the moment you look, that hand of mercy, stretching down to where you are. You didn't get up there. He came down to where you are. He touched you. Sovereign word came to you. Said, live. And that pack fell off. It fell off. Isn't that wonderful? That's where He found us. That's where He found us. Oh, you see the difference? You see the difference between the two? There's a big difference. There is a huge difference. You'll go off saying, instead of that, I'm pressing on the upward way. You know what you're going to go off? You're going to go off saying, and my heart was despaired neath Jehovah's dread frown. And lo, in the pit where my sin dragged me down, I cried to the Lord. That's north. I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. Right? He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on that rock to stay. That rock is Christ. And He set my feet on Him. He set my feet on the rock to stay. Oh, He puts a song. And I can see it. There's songs on a lot of your faces this morning. I can see gladness on your face. If you got it on your face, it's because He put it there. And He puts a song in my soul today. A song of praise. That's our song. We're not going to glory in ourselves. Uh-uh. No flesh will boast in His sight. None, but He puts a song in our heart today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. That's what these men saw, wasn't it? That's what Isaiah saw. He saw north and he saw south. And when we come into these verses of Scripture, and the Lord just opened that to me, and I mean, every verse of Scripture now I look at, I just look at it in light of that verse, in light of the compass of truth. What does this say about God? Well, it's perfect. Sovereign, righteous, holy, just. Everything that I'm not, He is. And in Christ, I'm everything that He is. That's the truth, isn't it? That's the gospel. Oh, that the Bible just comes alive. It comes alive to you. Oh, I pray that we can all see this. I pray that the Holy Spirit, it's only the Holy Spirit that's going to open the eyes of the dead sinner. It is. It's only the Holy Spirit can do this. And sometimes I fear we don't remember. You know, we sit and we talk to people and that don't see the truth. And I fear sometimes we don't remember what we were before the Holy Spirit showed us this compass, before He put it in our heart. Our compass, listen, there's a lot of people out here, and we were the same way. They see themselves off kind of in the southwest somewhere, you know, Arizona, Southern California. Not really dead, but sort of dead, you know. But listen, the compass needle doesn't bend in the middle. It doesn't. If your view of man is over here somewhere, your view of God's going to be off somewhere else. It's got to be man is dead. That man is a sinner. He's a wretched, depraved, defiled sinner. That's what he is. And when we see that, then we're going to see God. We're going to see Him. See Him as He is. Oh, that we might see Him. That we might see Him. Little ones, do you just hear me today? Oh, I hope you didn't. Oh, I hope you didn't. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear God and Heavenly Father, oh, dear Lord, that You would reveal Yourself. Oh, dear Lord, what did You see in us, Lord? Oh, You did saw only wickedness and depravity, sin. But yet You spoke the words of life to our hearts. Dear God, would You not do that to one of these here today? The only reason for grace is grace, dear God. Lord, have mercy upon them. Lord, help us to be a witness. Help us to be a testimony of Your grace, and Your mercy, and Your truth. Lord, open our mouths that we might speak, that we would not shy from the gospel, dear God, of Your redeeming grace. Lord, help us. Lord, save these young ones here. Save those that do not know You in this place. Lord, bless Brother Bruce as he speaks to these people. Bless him. Fill his mouth with words of life. Lord, do this. Have mercy on us, Lord, we pray. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for this day. In Your dear Son's name, we ask these things. Amen.